From Your World Discovered, my name is David Ewan, and this is EPN. My guest today is Steve Snyder. He's the author of Shot Down. It is the true story of pilot Howard Snyder, that's his father, and the crew of the B-17 Susan Ruth. He is the president of the 306th Bomb Group Historical Association. His website is stevesnyderauthor.com. Steve, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, David. I appreciate it. I'm glad to be here.
And we're talking about your book, Shot Down, which is historical. Tell us a little bit about what planted the seed to write the book.
Oh, gosh. Well, growing up, I knew the basic history of my dad's World War II experiences. But it wasn't until I retired in 2009 that I had the time to really delve into his war history in more detail. And they, my mother and my father, had kept a lot of material from the war years. And two items were most significant. One was a diary that my dad wrote while he was missing in action after being shot down. And the other items were the, all the letters that my mother had kept that my father had written to her while he was stationed in Europe, or in England, actually. And those were just fascinating, riveting, and it became my passion. I just wanted to learn more and more. At that time, though, I had no intention of writing a book. But I started reading lots of books about the air war over Europe. I went on the internet and spent countless hours doing research, and I joined a number of World War II organizations, going to reunions, listened to veterans tell their stories. And after all this, about 3 years into it, in 2012, I was actually at a reunion of the 306th Bomb Group in Savannah, Georgia, where I came to the conclusion that the story of my dad and his crew was so unique and so compelling that it had to be told and people needed to read about it. So I decided to write a book, which was released in August of 2014.
You know, I was thinking about what we talked about before we went on air, and it reminded me of Tom Brokaw, formerly of NBC Nightly News, talked about America's Greatest Generation and wrote a book about it. And it's about the people of World War II and before. And I understand in a similar situation, similar fashion, that where we look to our parents who are of that era, for example, World War II or even World War I. And I remember that my father had the bayonet that my grandfather got in his shoulder. It was a German bayonet in World War I. And then when I was introducing my wife to my father for the first time, he was telling me about how he flew on the B-24, the Liberator. That's what we were talking about before going on air. Right. And in the Liberator, he was talking about how he flew around the Eiffel Tower. He said, if you're going to look at the Eiffel Tower, that's how you do it. You can't do it in today, but when you're in a four-engine bomber and you're flying around the Eiffel Tower, what a sight. But I remember the way he described it, it felt like it was here, and it, meaning the time, it was happening now. Now, you did a lot of research and plus of what your parents had collected over the years. How was the writing written in such a way for this B-17 Susan Ruth and your father, Howard Snyder? How is that written in such a way that it feels like it's happening right now?
That's a very good question. Well, I have no writing background, or had no writing background at all. I just decided, like I mentioned, that the story needed to be told. So I write kind of the way I talk. I don't use a lot of flowery language or lots of big words. I kind of get to the point in discussing it. But I really owe a lot of thanks to two Belgium gentlemen. Probably wouldn't have written the book if it wasn't for them. They were young boys during the war, and they saw the atrocities that the Nazis committed firsthand. And later in life, they became local historians. They interviewed all these Belgium citizens and members of the underground and documented their testimony about events that took place involving my dad and his crew. And they provided me with unbelievably detailed information about events that would have been lost in history without their dedicated research. And so from my dad's diary, the letters, and the book's full of excerpts from my dad's letters, there's over 200 time period photographs in the book, so you can visualize everything that's taking place. And just bringing all that together, all that information, declassified military documents, war crimes reports, that's all based on firsthand testimony. So people say it's all factual, but it almost reads like a novel because of the story is just so incredible of what happened to not only my dad and his crew, but about all the Belgian people that risked their lives trying to help them.
Now, you had mentioned that there's the diary that your father had, of course, the letters, lots of pictures, and also the great research help that you had. It sounds very much like you were in the good fortune to have the resources so that you could put the book together. And you had mentioned that without the help from the two, or at that time, the boys, Belgian boys, who were able to help you. And so this really is a time capsule of history of a sort. Would you agree? Is that the case? Did I assess that correctly?
Oh, definitely. Well, really, it's kind of two books at one, actually. You have the story of my dad and his crew, but then what I added to the book was a great deal, actually, of historical information and anecdotes about and surrounding the war to put the story of my dad and his crew in context and give it more background. So it's the story of my dad and his crew reads like a novel, like I mentioned, but then it's also like a history book because it also talks about the entire 8th Air Force, what flying combat was like over the skies of Europe, what was going on in World War II from a broader perspective. It's a very detailed book, and it contains a lot of information.
Now, you must have learned a lot. What was it that you learned that you were not expecting at the completion of the book?
Well, my biggest surprise and probably what I learned is I knew my dad's plane was shot down by German fighter planes, Focke-Wulf 190s. But one day when I was doing my research, my wife asked me, why don't you try to find the German Luftwaffe pilot that shot down your dad's plane? Which at the time I thought it was a ridiculous idea. How on earth am I ever going to do that? But I found Hans Berger, the German Luftwaffe pilot that shot down my dad's plane, and I interviewed him for the book. He gave me some wonderful insight about what it was like to go up against the 8th Air Force. Fortunately for me, he became a translator after the war, so he speaks English. And I interviewed him through email and over the telephone for the book. And then just this last May, I traveled to Munich, Germany, where Hans lives, and filmed an interview with him. He just turned 93 years old a couple weeks ago. So that was like my biggest surprise, the biggest thing that I really, really learned, because my dad didn't know who shot him down.
I was just going to say that's more than just the biggest surprise. That's more surreal.
Yeah, that's pretty incredible that I found it, because when my wife first said that to him, I thought, well, he probably didn't make it through the war. And if he did, you know, that was 70 years ago. He might have good chance he had passed away, and he's probably not going to speak English, and I can't speak German, so everything just fell into place perfectly.
It was as if that was meant to happen. What was his reaction when you reached him and in a sense said, hey, you shot down my dad's plane? I'm sure it wasn't that conversation, but still, how was his reaction when you first made contact?
Well, he was surprised, needless to say. And at first, he was a little hesitant about talking about it. One time, he even said, well, you're asking me some awful personal questions, Steve, and I really don't even know you. But I, you know, through emails and telephone conversations, I earned his trust. And he opened up and told me lots of information. It's a painful thing for him to talk about. It was a bad time. He was just a young 19, 20-year-old guy. All of his friends basically were killed in the war, since the Germans didn't have any mission limits to fly. They just flew until basically they died. They were so injured, couldn't fly anymore. So it was a tough time, both during the war and after with the war for Hans. But when I met him in person, you know, face to face, we went out to lunch first before the interview. I get chills just talking about it right now, you know, to be with him. And we've become good friends, you know. And he says he can't believe he's talking to the son of a B-17 pilot that shot him down. They shot him down, actually. They shot each other down in the encounter. He bailed out and made it through the wars.
Did I understand? So both shot at each other, and you both were shot. They were both shot down, I should say. Is that correct?
Right. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. And this, so this was in the same altercation, if you will.
Right.
They both shot each other down.
Right. February 8th of 1944.
Wow.
Right over the French-Belgian border.
Now, you mentioned, of course, it was a tough time, and I'll just share a story which will lead into my question. And I remember when I was a boy, and I told you my father was in World War II, and he was the radar radio man on the Liberator. And there was a guy who just called out of the blue, and I answered the phone. And I'm a kid at the time. And he identifies his name. He knew my father. And, you know, they get on the phone. And my father, who normally doesn't show emotions, he had tears in his eyes and invited this gentleman to come over. And I remember as a little boy, you know, this nice man and his wife, they came and, you know, a little bit of a lunch, a private lunch. You know, I'm, you know, the kids weren't involved. It was just my parents and this couple that came. And then he left. And, you know, just as an inquisitive kid, I asked, what was that? He said, we fought in World War II together, and I knew him only for 6 months. And I said, 6 months? And after all these years, he got in touch with you? He said, the relationship and bond you make saving each other's lives are those that you don't forget.
Right.
And I imagine that this must also, in some form or fashion, be incorporated in your book. And also with the gentleman who shot down or through, they shot down each other,
right.
That in some ways became a bond for you as well, because now you're part of something.
Yeah. Some people ask me, like, well, don't you hate the guy who shot down your dad's plane? And really, no. I mean, he was, his life, Hans Berger, and my dad's lives intersected at a certain point in history. And World War II, in that moment, probably was the most significant event in my father's life. So he, Hans Berger, had a real influence or a real part in my dad. My dad was missing in action for 7 months after he bailed out, but he evaded capture. He was hidden by Belgian people for a while, and then he got tired of hiding, so he joined the French resistance and started sabotaging German convoys. And then finally, when Patton Army came up through France after D-Day, my dad hooked up with the Third Army, and then he made it back to England. So my dad was missing in action for 7 months, you know, back home. My mother with a little 1-year-old daughter, Susan Ruth, who his plane was named after, and then my other sister, Nancy, that was born while he was missing in action. And they didn't know if he was dead or alive, and that must have been a traumatic time for my dad, hiding from the Germans and then deciding to fight against the Germans. So, I mean, that was, like I said, the most significant event in my father's life, and it stayed with him his entire life. But the book's just not about my dad. It's about what happened to each member of the crew, because something different happened to each guy. Five of them made it back, but five of them did not.
And so you spoke to a lot of them, five out of 10, I guess you were saying, right? Five out of the 10, is that right?
Correct.
Yeah, and
had a 10-man crew.
Did you ever interview them together, and did you see the bond together?
Well, I was a little kid when my dad and his crewmen got together after the war, and so I really didn't appreciate what was going. They would tell me to come in the living room and say hello to Mr. and Mrs. Musial or whoever. And I never really talked to any of the other crewmen about the war. They had passed away, but they had left letters, some written accounts of their experiences. Also, in 1989, there was a memorial to my dad's crew that was erected in southern Belgium in the little village of Mackinwas. And my dad and the other three crew members that were still living at the time, along with their wives, went over for the dedication. And one of the guys, Joe Musial, one of the waist gunners, he videoed the several days. And so I have all that video of them just talking casual and hearing their stories on video. So that's a really important, valuable piece of information that I had at my disposal as well.
You know, it's very unusual, and I'm just at awe, if you will, just hearing this, because it is very difficult to be able to capture what really happened. I made reference before about Tom Brokaw's book, and your book, Shot Down, is perhaps the best capsule that I'm aware of that touches firsthand what happened to a group of people. And how it affected their lives thereafter. Does your book talk about a lot about what happened after the war?
No. A lot of people asked me about that and wondered if I should have put that in the book, but I really didn't. I talk about, you know, the dedication of the memorial and my dad and those other crewmen going back for that. One of those Belgian gentlemen I mentioned earlier, Paul Delahaye, he formed a foundation, American Belgium Foundation, to honor and remember the Allied troops that liberated their country from Nazi oppression. And he did a great deal. He passed away in 2013, but his two daughters, Crystal and Severine, now carry on his legacy. And I become good friends with them. I visited Belgium 4 times now. And the Belgian people are wonderful people. They do a marvelous job about educating the younger generations about the importance of remembering and honoring those Allied troops. And to this day, they're so grateful and thankful for their country being liberated. Wonderful people. It's a wonderful country.
Now, the book Shot Down, that has been out. And is there another book in the horizon that might talk about the 306th Bomb Group Historical Association and what it represents, or as I mentioned before, the aftermath following World War II and the crew of the B-17 Susan Ruth?
Right now, I don't have any plans to write another book. Since writing this book, it's basically changed my life. I had retired, and now basically I'm working full-time again promoting my book. I do lots of speaking. I've developed a PowerPoint presentation, and I do a lot of speaking. I go to lots of air shows and do book signings. So it's really a full-time job. I mentioned I did go to Europe and film that interview with Hans Berger. I also spent 3 days filming in Belgium. And what I'd like to do is I have 16 hours of raw footage, so I'm hopeful of putting together a documentary about the book, which will be released sometime next year. So that's really what I'm going to try to focus on. But it's been marvelous. I have so much fun doing what I'm doing. I meet so many people at these events that I speak at, or book signings at air shows. And, you know, they tell me their stories about their father. One very gratifying thing about writing the book, and it's really inspired a lot of people to try to learn more about their vet, whether it's a father, uncle, a grandfather, because most people know very little about what their relative did during World War II.
Well, I will share a reason why I surmise, and again, it's a personal experience. My father, who was in World War II and flew, he was a radio man in a four-engine bomber called it's a B-24 Liberator I mentioned before, and he was telling me, again, at a time when I was a little boy, a lot of this was when I was young. My father was 41 years older than me. He was old enough to be my grandfather. And he had explained to me that when he was a second lieutenant, he wanted to get on a plane for someone, a pilot that was very well known, and it was a test flight or something like that. And he wanted to get on the plane, but he didn't have a parachute. So some senior officer said, "Lieutenant, you'll have to stay behind." And other people got on. So he was in the tower, and he kind of listened to this because he wanted to live through this experience. And this, I don't know his name, but it was a very popular, skilled pilot. And anyways, the plane goes up, there's a problem. And the pilot says, "We don't have it in the cards for us." He remembered saying that expression, not having it in the cards. And the plane crashed and everyone died. And my father could have been on that plane, but because he didn't have a parachute, he didn't have it happen. That was another time I saw tears run down his eyes. And so World War II is one of those sensitive things that's very difficult for people to talk about. Now, I talk about World War II. I have nephews who've seen the enemy's eyes in Afghanistan. So it's not just World War II. But war is a subject that's difficult to talk about. And you mentioned it not too long ago when you were interviewing Hans Berger, that it's a difficult topic for him to talk about. So that being said, overall, this book must have been very difficult to put together.
Well, like you mentioned earlier, I had so much information at my disposal, and I was so lucky and so fortunate to have and know so much about what happened to my dad and his crew. And I used my dad's letters as kind of to put as a chronological order of the book. And it really wasn't all that difficult. It took, from the time I started my research to the time the book was published, was 4.5 years. It took me about 12 months to actually write the manuscript, and then another 8 months to publish it. I decided to publish it myself by forming a one-person limited liability company, Seabreeze Publishing, which is the name of the street I live on. And then I contracted with independent professionals for all of the associated services, such as editing, cover design, interior layout, printing the book, fulfillment, and things like that. So I learned a lot during that process, not knowing anything how to publish a book. It is, like I said, it's been very rewarding. And the response to the book has been overwhelming. It's been very humbling. It's won 20 book awards in the 2 years since it's been out. It has a 4.9 rating, 92% 5 stars on Amazon. It's in basically all the air and war museums across the United States, the World War II Museum in New Orleans, the Smithsonian Air and Space Museum in D.C., 8th Air Force Museum in Georgia, the U.S. Air Force Museum in Ohio. So it's I never dreamed that it would have this much success and have this much impact on people, but it's just been phenomenal.
It's obviously a necessary book, as you had mentioned, had to be written. The information was there. You are the right person to do it. It's an award-winning book. Thank you so much for doing it. My guest today has been Steve Snyder. He's the author of Shot Down, and it is the true story of the pilot, Howard Snyder, and his and the crew of the B-17 Susan Ruth. Howard Snyder is the father of the author, Steve Snyder. Steve Snyder is also the president of the 306 Bomb Group Historical Association. You can check out his website, stevesnyderauthor.com. Snyder is spelled S-N-Y-D-E-R. Steve, thank you for joining me on Your World Discovered.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
This is Your World Discovered. My name is David Ewan, and this is EPN.